It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes. Offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
This is the Beckler and Shauna Pisscast. And you are here.
You are here.
And we're here.
We're here. I have starts to like a migraine right now. I've got these like squiggly bits that are going through my eyes.
Uh-oh.
But I always find like it starts so I can only half see you right now. It's just this weird thing that like cuts into my vision. But then if I take a couple quick Advil, then it goes away.
You so can I'm get out in front of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is great. Knowing that trick and the fact that that works is phenomenal.
It's going to save your day probably. Hey? Otherwise the day would be a write off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Migraines are the worst, man. I used to get them when I was young. You can't do anything. They just shut you down, right?
No. And I never used to get them ever. And then I was here when I got my very first one, and it was awful. I had to. It was the only time I think I've ever gone. It is the only time I've ever gone home sick from work. Remember that one day that it was so bad? I was like starting to get super nauseous, and we were trying. It was luckily it was right at the end of the show, so I only left a couple minutes early. But it was that was awful. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not fun.
No,
they're not fun. You ever heard of cluster headaches?
Yeah, that sounds...
Yeah, people describe it as, like, the worst pain you can imagine. You say cluster headaches and, like, kidney stones are kind of on the same level of pain.
Awful.
I've never had either.
Nope. Awful.
We got another review of the podcast.
Oh, sweet.
This is from retired medical SWer Laura. What's an SWer? SWER. What would that be? Oh, social worker.
Oh, yeah. Probably. That's cool.
Very long time listener of your show. I started listening when you guys were doing afternoons. Wow, that is a long time.
That's a long ass time ago.
I literally tell anyone that will hear me about the podcast. It's honestly helped get me through some dark times. I laugh out loud to your show all the time. My husband loves listening when I have it on in the house. You guys are truly awesome, and I can't wait to continue to listen and laugh. Keep up the great work. You guys never fail to make my day.
Well, that just made our day. That is thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the review, Laura, and thank you for mentioning it to your friends and stuff, too. That is about the highest compliment we can get.
It truly is, yeah.
So we really appreciate that. And if you want to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it. We'll read it on the air here.
We sure will.
Show. So we're not on the air right now.
No, technically not, no. But we will read it.
On today's show, a heritage moment, since it is Wednesday, we're going to talk about how pessimism may have helped our species survive.
Yeah.
The Flames are damn near out of the playoffs, if not officially out of the playoffs today. We're not quite sure, but we're going to make losing sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is limiting political content now. We'll talk about that. Jobs by divorce rate. Can you guess which ones would be high, which ones would be low? A trend that was big years ago. You don't see as often anymore, but you do see the remnants of this trend. That and more after your Out of Context clip.
The suffering.
The suffering.
The suffering.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
A friend of mine lives in Australia, and we were catching up yesterday, and he said, "How's the suffering?" And I was like, "The what?" And he says, "Winter. The suffering." He calls winter the suffering. And I was just like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it kind of is.
I mean, it kind of is. Yeah, it's a really sad way of saying it. But truly, that is it. Like, we have the seasons, right? We have spring, summer, fall, and the suffering.
Yes. Like, earlier this week, it was a really cold wind.
Yeah.
I was driving somewhere, and there were a bunch of people walking from their office to lunch somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all bundled up and wincing against the wind. And I was like, man, we live here, hey?
It's just... When you see
that
those faces, it is true. We wince in pain when we're outside. It truly is suffering when you think of it. You get to a certain, whether it's the wind or the temperature out there or whatever, and it's truly painful.
You accept
it
a certain amount of
face.
Suffering living here, don't you?
I guess so.
The suffering.
It is the suffering, though. You have to say it really ominous, too. How's the suffering?
The suffering.
The suffering.
M. Night Shyamalan's. The suffering.
It does sound like a horror movie.
The twist at the end of that movie is that you think it's spring, but it's more winter.
Yeah.
More suffering.
Oh!
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
My son, Bo, who is 9, brought home some math homework the other day, and he asked me for help.
We sat down.
We did the first page together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to the second page, and I was like, I actually don't remember how to do this.
Yeah.
Bo is in grade 3. So this is not complex math by any means. And I don't remember how to do grade 3 math.
Well, I was thinking about this the other day, and Beckler, I don't remember how to do long division.
Oh, no. Me neither. This, like, was far. This was way easier than long division, and I still didn't know it.
Well,
when he gets to long division, no.
No. Like, I was thinking about this, like, basic division. I know. It's awful. Like, I don't remember.
If I gave you two numbers right now and said divide them without a calculator, like, you wouldn't know the steps?
Probably not.
Me neither.
No.
I maybe know how to set it up, but that's it.
Yeah.
I was like, how do I get out of this without exposing the fact that I don't know to him? So I tried to rope McKenna into helping me, but she was busy making supper and she kind of shook me off. She's like, I don't know either. So we're like, uh-oh, neither of us.
Yep. But I mean, that happens with most parents. I feel like you're not alone in this. It's true. We don't use these skills beyond that grade. So,
but I figured I would be okay for a little longer.
Yeah,
like grade three, fair. Like I said, it wasn't very complex. So I looked at the example problem that the teacher had provided and I was like, okay, I think I can figure this out based on that. So we kind of worked through it together.
Yeah.
He was learning. I was learning as well.
Yes.
But it's grade three is the limit.
You're relearning your grade three math. Yeah, that's key.
That's going to be it. That'll be as far as I can help him.
Next,
he's on
step,
his own.
NASA. There you go.
I remember growing up, some of my friends had parents who were like really good at math. Like, one's dad was an engineer, another was an accountant. One was actually a math teacher.
Oh, wow. That's so beneficial.
That's who we would go to for help. And my parents were like, we can't help you.
Oh, no.
And now I'm them.
My mom had no clue. My dad would try a little bit here and there, but he also just made it more confusing because he didn't really remember and then he was pretending to, which don't do that.
I think
just admit. I don't know.
I think I was making it more confusing for Bo, too.
Fair, yeah. Like, and
sorry,
as a kid,
man.
You're polite enough for a little bit, and then eventually you just stop going to dad. You're like, dad doesn't know either.
My dad's a donkey. I won't be asking him for help.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I saw a guy with spacers yesterday, and I realized how rare it is to see spacers these days.
Spacers.
Like you know those ones in your ears, the stretchers kind of thing?
Yes, the stretched earlobes.
They call them spacers. I don't know what.
Maybe that's what they're called.
I
don't
even know. When I was in high school, a ton of people had spacers. It was kind of like the rock look, right? You'd get
that. Yeah.
We also the weird like fangs bangs. Did you ever have
fang
those?
Bangs?
There was like two little fangs that kind of went down either side of your head. That was
the
emo look.
But okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It was that in spacers. It was a big deal. But now I'm like, I don't really see them anymore. Do those still exist? Like, do people still space out their ears like that?
Occasionally, I'll see someone who clearly had them because their earlobes are all stretched out. And,
yeah.
Because
you do see, that's a tough, like,
that
they don't go
tough.
Back, right?
They really don't.
When I was, I always thought spacers were really cool and I was like, oh, maybe I want those. And then you up gauge and you kind of keep stretching
them.
And then I was like, never thought of the fact that now you just have those gaping keyhole earlobes.
Really? Oh, that's all I thought of when I saw those back in the day. I was like, man, I hope you like those forever because. If not, you're just going to have dangly skin there.
Can you do lobe surgery? Like, can you get those fixed? Because
I would imagine.
I almost feel like there were more spacers and now you don't see as many dangly key lobes as you used to. I was like, is there a way of kind of making that, you know?
I would imagine. I imagine plastic surgery could do that.
Are we doing
probably
like
wouldn't be cheap.
Lobe kegels? Is that like just to strut them, put them
flexing your ear,
tighten them up a little bit more? Oh, yeah. No, that's going to heal. Yeah.
I can kind of move my ears.
Can you? Are you kegeling your ears right now?
Trying to. I can move them.
Lobe kegel. Kegel.
You can't see because I got headphones on. They're moving.
I'm actually trying really hard right now, but now I'm doing actual kegels as well. This is a thing. Yeah.
Do you ever see, because I've heard it said that as we age, the two things that don't stop growing are our nose and our ears. And that's why you see lots of older people with like big honking horns or big ears on them, right? Because that's what happens to all of us eventually.
That also seems straight. Like, do some grow faster than others as you hit that certain age? Because, all of a sudden you just, wow, look at the size of that nose.
But have you ever, sometimes you'll see an older lady who's still wearing like real earrings instead of like clip-on earrings or whatever, and they're heavy.
Yeah.
And you can tell she's worn heavy earrings her whole life because she got the long lobes
the
on
long
her, right?
Lobe, yeah. Yep. She is a natural spacer.
Before the hipsters were doing it.
Well, my ears are already stretched out. I'm going to have the longest lobes in the world when I get older.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because honestly, it's the number of times you catch your earrings in your sweater and I've ripped my ears. Oh, yeah.
Long lobes Jefferson over there.
Long crack, long
do your lobes.
Got a lot. They will do it, bro.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
What color are your eyes, Shauna?
Blue.
They're blue?
They're blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't really notice that on people. Look, unless someone has like incredibly striking eyes. I don't
Thanks,
notice.
Jerk. Your eyes are just average. I don't know what you think. Fine. What color are your eyes?
I wouldn't have been able to answer that if someone said, what color are Shauna's eyes? I wouldn't have known they were blue. But they're blue.
They're blue.
There they are. Mm-hmm. I was reading about eye color distribution around the world.
Yeah.
Brown is by far the Definitely. Most common eye color. Yes. More than 50% of the world's population. Some sources I read said it's as high as 80%.
Yeah.
Because basically everybody in Africa, basically everybody in Asia, and that's like the bulk of the world's population right there.
Totally.
All have brown eyes.
Yeah.
Have you ever met anyone with ancestry from one of those places who doesn't have brown eyes, who has like lighter colored eyes?
Yeah.
It's quite a look.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's a great look. In fact, even my my nephew, he has very dark like hair and dark everything, and he has bright piercing blue eyes, and it's pretty cool.
Well, because his dad is of Asian descent, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that is quite a look. Like if you have
totally
those features, but then light colored eyes. Like I think everybody finds those people attractive.
Although now you can just get the contacts that does it for you.
You can tell though.
Yeah.
You can tell if it's fake. Can't you?
I don't know. Maybe. You think so.
I think my eyes are hazel.
Yeah, they look hazel.
Is that hazel? I think that's what my driver's license says. I actually don't know. Yeah. Hazel is fairly rare too. Only 5% of the world's population has hazel eyes. Mm. I think only green, like true green, is rarer.
Yeah.
Also funny how hazel isn't a color description that we use for anything else other than eyes, right?
Well, it's kind of weird, isn't it? It's like brown and green.
It's a bit of a mixture going on there. I was going to say, like, you'd never be like, he had a hazel colored dump.
Yeah.
We never use hazel for anything else, right?
Diarrhea eyes just doesn't sound quite as nice.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Diarrhea eyes sounds like an 80s love song or something, eh?
When I said it, that's all I could think of, too. Diarrhea eyes.
You got diarrhea eyes.
I'm so sorry, by the way. Hazel is actually a lovely color of eye, but honestly, when you think about how you'd have to describe it, it is kind of the color of poop, right?
Like brown and green, and you're sick.
Weird mixtures. Sick eyes.
I'm going to start using hazel in other places if I can, like that.
I'm going to start using diarrhea eyes as well. My sister also has hazel eyes. I'm going to tell her that they're actually diarrhea eyes from this point forward.
I'm going to check my driver's license here because I think they are hazel. Let's see.
Does it say diarrhea eyes?
Eyes hazel.
Right on there.
D-I-H. What does that stand for? Diarrhea eyes.
Mine's blue.
One of my best buds growing up, his mom was white, his dad was black, and he wanted that sort of like light color eye look, so he got a pair of colored contacts when we were like, I don't know, 15 or 16, and he tried them on, came out of the bathroom, he's like, how do they look? And his eyes were so red from like not being used to contacts and not putting them in properly. I was like, Not the reaction you were going for, man.
Do you remember when snake eyes, you could get those contacts that made your eyes look like snake eyes were a thing?
Yeah.
I
remember Marilyn Manson used to wear one.
Oh, yeah.
That would make like his pupil really tiny on the one side. Now you only see him at Halloween.
Yeah. People with different colored eyes, I love that. Like a husky.
Yeah. Oh, that's heterochromia?
Yeah. That's always really cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I went to school with a girl who had one blue and one green eye. She was very good looking, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's a fun look for sure.
I guess, maybe the rarest would be red eyes, because people with albinism can have red eyes.
Yeah. Well, that would be crazy.
Do all huskies have heterochromia?
I don't think all of them do.
No?
Some of them. Although I don't actually know.
Trait?
It's just a common trait in huskies.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get one blue contact and I'll wear that. And then on the other one.
And you have diarrhea eye.
And the other one will be diarrhea.
Blue. Yeah. Good. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Again, hazel is. I actually really like hazel eyes. So I'm being a jerk, but.
And just think the people who only listen to our live radio show missed out on this great discussion.
Right? About diarrhea eyes.
Diarrhea. Only you, the lucky Pisscast listener, got to hear all that.
Isn't that lovely?
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
A friend was telling me that when he interviewed to work on the rigs way back when, the company he interviewed made it very clear that it's very hard on relationships. I guess they told him that more than 70% of relationships don't last, and they actually had a divorce lawyer on retainer, and they were using that as a perk for when he was getting hired.
So the nice thing about working for us is that when your marriage fails, we got someone who can help you with that.
I was just like, holy hell. Like, they don't beat around the bush, do they?
I believe it, though. I think working away would be very difficult on a family.
Totally. Yeah, it would be really, really tough on relationships, though. But it got me thinking about what jobs would have the lowest and the highest divorce rates.
Oh.
And I have a list here.
Okay.
And I was curious, let's say, I don't want to go with highest because, I mean, that's a little bit, it's a little bit sad.
Highest divorce rates?
But let's go with the lowest divorce rates.
Lowest? I don't know. I had some guesses for highest.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, I know that like emergency services have high divorce rates.
Yep. Yep.
Like, you know, we chatted with a paramedic yesterday. I'm sure that would take a toll on relationships, police, fire, all that, right?
Okay, well, here, let's go for highest divorce rates per job then to see what you can guess there. I mean, I know you just said that one.
Yeah. Is that on the list?
That is on the list, yes. Okay. It's midway through, though. It's not as high as you'd think, yeah.
When I think about many of the flight attendants that I know, they're perpetually single.
Yep.
Is flight attendant up there?
Yes, that is number three.
Okay.
Is flight attendant.
It's two ahead of that, hey? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The first one, I don't think you'd ever guess.
For some reason,
honest.
I want to say dentists, but I know that I think that's that they have a higher tendency to unalive themselves.
They're not on here.
No, okay.
Per se.
So it wasn't
actually
divorce.
I believe dentists are one of the highest rates or lowest rates of divorce.
One of the stablest
for relationships.
Okay.
Yeah.
What am I missing? What's ahead of flight attendants?
Bartenders.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's up there. Yeah. And the highest one is gaming managers.
Oh, okay. Like if you work at a casino?
Yeah. Which I find strange, although I suppose I could see it.
I could see, the hours and just like the lifestyle and everything.
Yep. And then dancers and choreographers are right after flight attendants there.
Okay.
So that one kind of makes
sense. I got flight attendants.
Yeah, you nailed that one.
What about on the other end of things?
So this is really...
You said dentist is one of the most stable.
Yep. Actuaries is number one.
I don't know what that is.
So I had to look into it as well. I was like, what's an actuary?
What is an actuary?
It's somebody who is basically in insurance and decides like the risk factors on certain things. And I was like,
that makes perfect
sense.
Does
that not make sense? That would be in at number one of the highest or lowest rather divorce rates because they are doing that. They're calculating their whole life.
They ran a risk analysis on the likelihood that your marriage would last.
They sure did. And then I just closed this to look at the highest for you. And I don't remember what the other ones are, but here, geez, come on now.
What else would be... I'm guessing it's like jobs that we think of as fairly boring. Fairly like low-key.
You'd think that, yeah.
Fairly stable.
Okay, this one's weird. Physical scientists is up after actuaries, which that one I can't put together. Here's one that's really obvious, though, that we're missing. Anyone that's in the clergy, something like that. Pretty low divorce rates there.
Yeah, in some places you're just really not allowed to. So,
the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Have you ever done this move, Shauna? It's super funny, but I'm almost certain that it's probably illegal. If you're driving and you're waiting at a red light that won't change, you send a passenger to run out and push the walk light button.
Oh, yeah.
You've done that before?
Yeah, many times.
I saw a guy do it to himself the other day.
Smart.
He abandoned his vehicle and walked over and pushed the walk light.
I don't think I've ever done that to myself before, although I have considered it before. Sometimes there's those lights that just like, they take so long and there's nobody ever around. And like, why am I waiting here? Really?
I know. And I think some of them are triggered by like weight on the road.
Yeah.
But other ones are triggered more frequently by the walk light.
Mm-hmm.
I remember where we parked when I was in high school, because I used to drive my little brother and his friend to school. Where we parked, there was a road that we had to turn out of, and it just would take forever. Like there was so much traffic and the light would never change. So one of them would run out and scurry out and hit the button.
Smart.
And then we'd pull through.
Yep.
Now when I see someone do it, I'm like, you bastard. And you get caught at the light.
I mean, then there's the roads here where if it's a one way and I don't exactly know the rules, I'll just turn left on a red. But like, I think I'm allowed to do this.
I think you can if it's a one way onto another one way.
Well,
I'm still not 100% sure about that.
I think that one's fine. But the debate is when it's a two way onto a one way. And a lot of the times I see people doing that anyway, and I kind of do it anyway sometimes.
Scurry out and hit the walk light. Then you don't have to worry about
true.
It.
That's true, yeah.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I guess Instagram has rolled out a new feature where they limit the amount of political content you see.
Interesting.
So it seems, I was reading a bit about it yesterday, it seems to be an early version of this feature, but it defines political content as, because that was my first question, it's like, what do you consider to be political? Because many things are political if viewed through a certain lens.
Yep.
It said, content likely to mention governments, elections, or social topics that affect a group of people and or society at large. And it seems like so far it's strictly regarding content from people you don't follow.
Okay.
So if you follow someone and they post about whatever, upcoming election,
you'll see that.
You'll still see that. But they won't suggest content to you that's political if you opt out of that.
Okay. Interesting.
Your thoughts on this feature, Shauna?
I'm torn on this. I mean, the problem is that if you see an unbalanced view, politicalized online, that's where I kind of have an issue with it. But if you're going to be seeing different balanced views and different sides of things politically, then I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be engaged in politics. And I think if you block it all entirely, does that mean that people are just not going to ever engage in political discussions? Although I suppose this is social media. So do you want to be engaged in political?
I don't know. I mean, when I first read about this, I was like, well, maybe it would be nice to log on and just see some nice stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's not see anything that's going to rustle your jimmies.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just looking for a little bit of an escape.
Yes.
But on the other hand, like you said, if they're controlling what you see, and the problem with all these social media algorithms is that it's just like, it's a bit of a feedback loop, right? It just gives you, it feeds you more and more extreme versions of the things that you consume.
Yes.
And it pushes you further one way or the other.
Yeah.
Until the point that you're no longer really in reality. And I know a few people who that has happened to, where I'm just like, man, I don't know what you're seeing on your feed, but you don't live in reality anymore.
Yeah, you're right. If this is actually going to make that not happen,
maybe that's a good thing.
Then that's a good thing.
And then it's just, then you're only seeing things from the people that you actually know in real life, whose opinions tend to be more moderate on average.
You know
what?
I'd be excited if Instagram just went back to dog photos, you know, just stick with that rather than.
It started off as food.
Yeah.
Right? It's just photos of people's food.
Let's go back to that. Now dog food. Sure.
That said, I like a good political jimmy rustling online every once in a while.
You do.
Sometimes I log on looking to have my jimmies rustled.
But you can do that elsewhere. How about we leave Instagram for the photos of food and dogs, and you can go and have your political fun elsewhere.
I go on X, formerly known as Twitter, if I really want to get rustling, hey?
That'll so really rustle jimmies those jimmies. Rustled. Woo! The Fackler and Shauna podcast. So the Flames are sitting in a spot right now where they're, I don't know if they're officially out of the playoffs yet, or they're still in the 0.15%. Because they lost last night.
And I wonder if with that loss, they aren't
officially
out. I haven't seen anything yet, but yeah, they were at like 0.1% chance of making the playoffs and then lost again last night.
So. I got a little scared when I first saw that, though, when they still had a chance, because I was like, okay, are they going to win every game? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then just like sneak in and do what they've done the last couple seasons where you sneak in and then you get ousted in the first round. I was like, if you just lost a couple, okay, if you just lost a few, you could put us in a way better position to get a good player on the lottery. You know?
Yeah. Once again, they didn't lose enough.
Yeah. Right. You kind of just wish that at some point they would go, let's just lose a few. I know it's not an athlete's nature to do this, but if they did, we could get a real
good
player.
You want to see a tank is what you want to see.
I kind of want to see a tank. Okay. Then I was thinking that maybe we could help them with this. Could we help them, Beckler, by making it a little more appealing to lose?
Mm.
You know?
You're talking about making losing sexy. Ooh. Let's try to make our way down even lower.
Oh. I like being bad. I'm so bad.
Oh, yeah. We can take a few more. We can take all of the L's.
Oh. I like it in the bottom.
Yeah, beat us up. Slap us around a little. We like that.
Oh, don't worry. Sucking is my forte.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. It's right there.
She did it. She did it.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
My brother sent me this interesting article about how pessimism may have helped humanity survive.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's based on some research that was done at Stanford a few years ago. And they were talking about how risk aversion in humans, like we are risk averse generally.
Yeah.
Like we, even have you heard of loss aversion, the theory that, you know, we overvalue, how would I word this? Basically that we're more bothered by the possibility of loss than we are enticed by the possibility of gains.
Okay. I haven't heard of that.
No, there's quite a bit of research on it, but yeah, it seems to track across most of the population that we really don't want to lose what we have.
We are terrified of change, that I know, and that all kind of, I think, ties together.
Yeah, and I think that the examples that they have all these different examples where, like, you have the possibility of winning some money, but the risk of losing some money is this, and people will always pick the safe option, pretty much.
Right.
And they were saying that this may have helped us survive because avoiding hitting zero where you lose everything, that can typically mean the end of your lineage then, right?
Right.
So going for the big payoff, if there's a risk that you're going to lose everything, if you do lose everything, you're no longer around to continue your evolution. So
that makes sense.
The people who will say, no, thank you, I'm not going to take the chance. Yeah. I'm just going to stick with what I have, are more likely to survive and pass those genes along.
Well, and that's why they say women live longer than men, right? Because women actually are even less likely to
right. Men engage in risks. Riskier behavior.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then you will survive longer if you don't do those stupid things. Yeah.
Another example they gave in this article was like, in boom times, when things are good, that's great. But all it takes is like one flood or one drought for you to lose absolutely everything. Or they said, you know, if you go back even further, hunter-gatherers, the hunter can go out and come home with a big payoff if they bag some big game. But if they don't, everybody might starve. And that's the end of you.
It all makes sense. It really does.
So, I mean, we all know people who are too pessimistic.
Yeah.
I think just as bad as people who are maybe too optimistic, where you're like, it's okay to admit that something's not going well. Mm-hmm. People who are always like a little too chipper, you know?
Yeah.
And the pessimists are the reason that we've survived. Because they plan for the worst.
I'm definitely on the other side of things. I'm a little too adventurous, and I know that. But there's times that I look back in my life, and I'm like, from being maybe a little too optimistic about and or trusting of humans, I have put myself in some bad spots. Whereas if you're a pessimist, you're probably more like, nah, I'm not going to do that because there's all these chances of these negative things happening. And again, that makes more sense. You're safer that way.
You're a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
But you're also...
Yeah,
ensuring the survival
the
of the species.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
An Alberta heritage moment.
If you wander through the East Village today, you'll pass an old neon sign for the St. Louis Hotel. The St. Louis Hotel was once infamous for not only being a wee bit seedy, but more so for the extremely rowdy bar that existed in the basement.
The hotel opened in 1914 in anticipation of the incoming railway and the traffic that would frequent the area as a result. It was developed by one of Calgary's most distinguished residents at the time, Colonel James Walker. He was actually one of Calgary's first citizens and its first police officer, although it was the Northwest Mounted Police back then.
The hotel originally had 60 rooms, a cafe, a barber shop, and a cigar stand. It was also close to City Hall, so many city employees would frequent the bar as well. This included a number of former mayors, including, most famously, Mayor Ralph Klein. In fact, it's rumored that drinking at this very bar was when Ralph Klein decided he would venture into politics.
Another story tells of some complaints from patrons about the fact that there was a long walk from the parking lot to the St. Louis because of a fence that you had to walk around. Mayor Ralph Klein heard these complaints and immediately fixed it by removing the fence, perhaps because he too was headed to the bar.
It's said that on Fridays, workers would often head there for lunch and not return to work. It was also home to an infamous horse racing game. This game was invented by the bar owners and was simple. A list of imaginary horse names were written on a piece of paper, and anyone drinking at the bar selected their choice of who might win.
The owner would then take the microphone and call out an imaginary race, choosing himself which fictitious horse would win. The patrons who chose the winner would then have to buy the table a jug of beer. The horse racing game and the St. Louis became so popular that you'd actually need a reservation on Fridays if you hope to get in.
The bar also made an appearance in Superman 3, which was largely filmed in Calgary. The St. Louis finally shuttered in 2006, and the night was a party. The famous chicken and chips and giant cabbage rolls were featured, along with one last famous horse race by the owner. But the St. Louis' original neon sign can still be found in the East Village, the last relic of one of the city's most famous watering holes.
This has been an Alberta Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative, X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x929.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna download it daily to whatever device you use. Later.